Thomas Paine podcast number 20, special edition. You know, I was going to have this guest on Tuesday, this past Tuesday, but things got a little crazy with Dr. Judy Minkowitz coming out and breaking her silence against Dr. Fauci. So this guest got bumped. So he gets his own spot now. That's how I roll. There's no green room here. If you get bounced, you get your own spot. Anyway, this guy spent a long time at Fox News. Coming up, he came up on TV news as a reporter. I was coming up in print. We worked the same markets. Smart guy. You might have seen him on television a number of times. He covered the Las Vegas massacre shooting. He was the first guy on the street. I think he and I were the only reporters up in the United States. We were the first to break it. Drew Pundit was the first to break the Las Vegas shooting online. That's a fact. Because I happened to be awake and watching The Wire, so to speak, and all this commotion. We have a lot of proprietary things here that tell us what's going on around the country. And if there's a hot spot, it gets flagged. And I was just headed to bed. I don't know. And I was like, there's a lot of crazy things going on here in Las Vegas. Let's see what's going on. And next thing you know, boom, 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 boom. So we were the first in. And I was watching it on television. And nothing, 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 nothing. And then boom. This maniac was out on the street covering it for Fox Live. And I'm like, how did this dude get out there? Adam Housley, Fox News. Great street reporter. And we shoot the shit here about the media. I love talking to two inside media guys about the media. Guys who actually do things are out on the street. I like talking with street reporters, you know. Back in the day when I was working, I try to like sneak into bars where Pete Hamill's drinking. Pete Hamill from The Post and The Daily News and Breslin and all these guys. And, you know, just a young kid trying to find his way, but a lot of the newspaper guys hung out together and the media guys hung out together and the TV guys hung out together in New York back in the day. So it's always good to talk to somebody who knows what the hell he's talking about in any field. But this is great in a sense that Adam was tweeting 2 weeks ago, up to 3 weeks ago, I guess, about where this virus came from and that it was not organic, quote unquote, organic, and it was lab-based. But at the same time, we were saying the same exact things we were hearing from our folks in the FBI and other places. And Adam has great sources, too. I mean, history has shown his coverage in Benghazi and beyond has really been really solid. And then like last week, Fox made a big splash and you hear us talking about it, about, ooh, breaking news. Doesn't look like the virus, is 100% natural. It might've been made in the lab. But I'm thinking, you dummies got scooped by a former reporter who's just shooting the shit on Twitter. Breaking what? Should be called Breaking Wind, not Breaking News. But you have a good conversation, and I think you come away with a lot of insights, and I apologize for not having him on Tuesday, but we got backed up. I also have a couple FBI guys I interviewed with, and we'll have to structure a show around that in the future. So we're digging out here because we've had a couple epic weeks of podcasts, and we're still new at this too, so we're learning the ropes, but we came out swinging, so to speak. So let me work in the plugs. TruePundit.com. There's a lot of stuff breaking on there. A lot of stuff from the podcast are breaking on there. And I'm on Twitter, Thomas1774Payne. Also on Twitter, True_Pundit. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again. If you want to benefit us, throw us a bone, and you like what we're doing, and you like how we're rocking and rolling, you can jump on to patreon.com/TruePundit and support us there. Not to sound like a tele-evangelist, but no amount is too big, no amount is too small. Of course, if you came up in Catholic school, they'd say, we only ask for a small donation in church. We only ask for a small donation. Nothing smaller than a 20. So we appreciate the recent surge in support on patreon.com/TruePundit. And we, we're working hard. We're breaking our butts, and hopefully we can get as much news out as we can on some of these cretins in the White House and the medical community and the governmental medical community, and it's rife with fraud and ripe for more fraud if something's not done about it. And I hope some of this stuff is getting into Trump. Well, that's another some of it. Stuff that we have done is getting to Trump. I know that for a fact. I we'll get into it later as it develops. I don't want to say too much to tip off the assholes that we're writing about, but some things underway, and it's somewhat encouraging, and I'm happy to hear it. I hear it coming back through different channels, and it's not information that we solicited. I like hearing that. I like hearing that. So it's encouraging, and we need some encouraging news here. Yeah, everybody can use some encouraging news. So we talk with Adam Housley, who's at Fox for a long time, and he recently said, "Hey, you know what? I've had enough of this media business," and he put in his papers and he stepped away, and he's doing something different now. And we'll talk about that.
So how you doing, right?
What's going on, bro?
Not much, man. Not much. Just a buddy of mine just contacted me. He's a blower who's a moderate Dem, and he gave me some good information on some stuff. So anyway, he tipped me out today. Another one, he called and said, "Hey, that unless something crazy happens," he goes, the way things are going, he goes, "The president's gonna win in a walk in November, and the House may flip."
Well, I mean, it's hard to say what the hell's going to happen unless things get rolling again, people get back on their feet.
That's the key. They think the economy is going to blow up. And so one of my really good friends I grew up with in college, literally one of my best friends, has been in Hong Kong for 22 years. Kid from Idaho. Got hired because he was a good golfer and took Japanese as a minor and been there ever since. And his dad was a Democrat state senator or state assemblyman in Idaho. So he's a moderate blue dog and not someone who's real positive a lot of time. And he messaged me. He's like, "Adam," he goes, "once the U.S. economy opens up," he goes, "what the Fed has done is unprecedented." He goes, "it's going to freaking blast. It's going to blast out of there. It's going to be crazy." I said, "really?" And he said, "yeah." But for him to say that's kind of a big deal.
Well, time will tell. What are you hearing on? We're going to do this on the podcast. So, what are you hearing on this virus? You were just, so I set it up. I thought it was kind of funny. Not fun. It's funny, sad in a way. The Fox had a few days ago that, oh, you know, this might have been made in a lab. And I'm like, Adam Housley scooped you guys by 2 weeks.
So the CNN, and the CNN came in after Fox. Exclusive, we've learned. I'm thinking both you fuckers are wrong because we've had it for 2 weeks.
Yeah. You're just and you're just shooting this shit on your Twitter feed. It's not like you're, you know, some super spook works for one of these guys.
I just called back to the guys I'm friends with who have connections, and they told me to do it. They trust me. And in some ways, they're more willing to talk to me now than they were before because they know that my hands aren't tied.
Right. Well, a lot of these guys you talk to, right? A lot of these guys you talk to, bro, and they tell you stuff, and then you couldn't publish it, and they're like, what did I tell you that for?
Exactly.
Yeah. Yep.
And they also can trust in the sense they know that I'm not, here's that part of it. There's also the part that I'm not tied in with the, you know, if you're at Fox, automatically you're a Republican. If you're at CNN, automatically you're a Democrat. There's none of that. And then that's the one thing I think is to my advantage.
So you scooped your old network, and so I'm not interested in talking to anybody from them because you were out front. I was saying similar things. You and I were saying similar things at the same time. So
right,
we're getting good information.
We are. I mean, and the issue is, listen, a lot of people are like, will come back and say, oh, well, you know, this has been talked about for a while. Yeah, but talked about and knowing are two different things.
Exactly.
And, you know, and you want to make sure you get it. So, you know, I wanted to make sure I had at least two, but I ended up getting three separate sources, totally different parts of the world, and totally, they don't know each other. They're not coming, you know, from three guys who work together or three gals who work together. So I knew that we had something there. I mean, obviously common sense says, but common sense isn't always right. There's times where you're like, common sense says this, and then what's common sense didn't necessarily come true. In this case, you know, we had three different people saying it to me. They were very clear. And it's funny when a couple of the reports since then, some of the folks on the federal level and the state level have said, oh, well, you know, we still think this is a natural occurring. Well, one of the same guys came back to me and said, Adam, a couple of things. One, they're playing semantics. Yes, it's natural occurring. There's some natural parts of the virus. Of course there is. But all it takes is one little insignificant, what you might think is an insignificant modification, and you've got a different virus. So you can still call it natural. Yeah, it's naturally occurring, but you've messed with it. That's the best way they put it in layman terms. They call it, you know, messed with. And the way I explained it to him, I said, so is it safe for me in saying it's like you have a 57 Chevy and you drop a 427 into it and you paint it fire engine red with yellow flames? It's still a 57 Chevy, but it's not. And he goes, that's a good way of putting it. So, you know, and he goes, and you don't have to even do that much to it to still call it a 57 Chevy. So, you know, the frustrating part for me is, and then one of the other scientists I've been going to has been giving great background information on this. He's actually working on there's a number of companies in the U.S. working on, you know, frantically working on something to help us beat this thing. You know, he said, you know, anybody coming out and saying definitively that they know that this is 100% natural is you should immediately be suspect of what they say. He goes, we may never know. Because, you know, and, you know, a lot of this is going to come, you know, there's certain things that could point it out to us, but most likely is, you know, unless we get some information inside what China or a whistleblower, you know, we may never know exactly what happened because Adam, there's been times I've worked on something and it's been a very small change, but it's done a very, very big thing.
Well, the other thing is too, bro, if they might not want you to know about it.
Exactly. I mean, listen, we don't, there's a lot of other, I think the one thing we can all agree upon is we're not being told the truth.
Yeah.
I think there's two frustrating, well, three frustrating things for me is one, everything's politicized. Everything is. That's the first frustration. Second is the complete lack of information some of these people have. Some of these politicians in both parties really coming out and, you know, claiming they know what's going to happen 4 months from now and 6 months from now. Hell, if you knew that, why didn't you tell us that what was going to happen 4 months ago? You know, and that's the second thing that frustrates me. And the third thing is it also feeds people that are, you know, the conspiracy folks. And some of it may be true and some of it may not. And the thing is, by keeping, you know, the information at a low level for a lot of Americans who aren't dumb, I mean, I laugh today because I remember when West Virginia was doing stuff and some of my friends were making fun of West Virginia. And guess who's opening up early?
West Virginia.
West Virginia, the way they've handled this, you know, so it's, you know, you don't know everything. And I think that's probably my biggest frustration with this is just the misinformation, the politics of it, and then the lack of knowledge that's expected and the lack of knowledge that's not being given to us at the same time.
Yeah, well, you covered schemes in the FBI and DOJ and all kind of things from earthquakes to lava flows and everything in your career, right?
Yeah.
So you know when you're not getting basic answers that there's trouble afoot.
Right.
And that's the challenge, bro. That's the challenge. We're out here we're fumbling around in the dark. And then I do give you credit. You stuck your neck out on the line on Twitter, and you're one of the first Twitter voice. We were doing stuff on the podcast, and I wasn't really out front as much as you were on Twitter saying, hey, this is like a problem. They cooked this thing up a little bit. That's what you were hearing, that they cooked. It's not natural. It's cooked up in some regard or another. And then here come all the people. Oh, you're a nut. You're crazy. But now, you know, you're just coming around, and more and more we're getting information that
And today it came out again that a couple of the agencies have doubled down even more, saying, you know, nothing's changed. If anything, we're becoming more convinced that it came from a lab.
Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of times they throw spaghetti. They throw, like, pasta against the wall to see what sticks. That's not sticking anymore, the bat thing and the wet market. Nah, it's not working. It worked for a long time, though. No, it worked for a long time.
It did.
Yeah.
You know, I was talking about the scientist I talked to. Here's what he said to me. I was talking to him about. I'll read exactly what he texted me. We were going back and forth. He says, you know, Adam, big picture and all this is there's some good. He goes, a lot of folks are doing their best to tell the truth. I would say you are as well, meaning you. On the he goes, you know, we're driving in their agenda. He goes, you know, folks seeing that China does behave differently, especially in pharma. The pharma industry, we have lots of examples of what China does. He goes, the bad part of all this, he goes, is the modeling. He goes, Scott Adams says models should not be judged on their accuracy. He goes, but I 100% disagree. He goes, they should be. He goes, and my guess is that in retrospective of all analysis of all this, is that it was maybe too much and too harmful. You know, judging in real time is what is least harmful overall is really tough. But it's not as simple as one's variable analysis. You know, and then the other thing I thought was interesting when I was telling you about how he says natural or not, he goes, unnatural could be obvious. If big chunks or other sequences were present. Now that hasn't been seen so far. He goes, but unnatural could also be very subtle. He goes, very subtle. I worked on a project where we made one change out of thousands, and that one little change out of thousands mattered. So I think that's what, you know, it's above the realm of knowledge for so many people that are sitting out in front and talking to the public about this. That's my frustration, is they're out there telling people and talking to people as if, and reporters are too, as if they're scientists, as if there's a very simple answer to some of this stuff, and there's not.
It's complex, and some of those reporters have based on no scientific intelligence or knowledge are running around like they think they run the CDC.
Oh yeah. It's really frustrating. You know, I remember the other thing you and I were hammering people on early on was, and this is not against the Chinese people. I've been to China. I know you say you've been to China and, you know, people start to say, oh, look at these, he has a Chinese friend. That's bull crap. I love Asia. I've been all over Asia. I have very strong connections to China. One of my closest friends, you know, lives there. And I only mention that because from the early on, I've been saying, how can you trust anything China says? It's like any, and I put this out there as an example. I'm not a legal expert, but I've covered a lot of legal cases in news. If a witness gives 1,000 different points of experiences and evidence, but one of those points is wrong, the other 999 are completely disqualified for the most part when you look at a legal case. Same thing with this. If China was saying all these things that were true and they only lied about one, even then I'm going to suspect everything they say. But they've lied about almost every single thing. And we have these reporters out there, even now, they're not still not totally calling them out, who are like, well, you know, China says this. And I said forever, this, and their death toll is way off, way off. They're completely lying. I have friends that have to talk to me in code, for God's sake. And then what happened a couple of days ago? Oh, China doubled the death toll in Wuhan. They're still way off. But, you know, and no one's calling them out. And the one that really, I think, upset me the most was last week when I saw a CNN report who also claimed that they had the exclusive on you know, our intel officials looking at this coming from the lab, after Fox claimed they did, was they said, you know, the Chinese Navy reporting that they've contained and done a much better job on their carrier than the U.S. has done on their carriers. And I'm like... And there's no qualification in that. They've lied about everything, you know, well, but they've also, you know, taken into account, they've lied about this, this, and this. It was basically a reprint of a Chinese propaganda piece. And I'm like, come on, people, what has happened to us? What has happened to us? You know, and it's just really frustrating. If we had a little bit of, and I'm not somebody who's Mr. Knowledgeable on foreign policy, even though that was my major, my master's, but this isn't brain surgery. Some of this stuff is just plain normal, everyday common sense.
Are you happy you got out of the game?
I did. I am. I like doing what I'm doing now, making wine and doing this because I can. There's nobody telling me what I can or cannot report, or you know. And that was becoming more commonplace towards the end. There's less. Also, you have less issues of everything being politicized. I'm just telling you what I find out. I don't care who it benefits. I don't. I just want truth.
There's a freedom.
I don't care if it helps President Trump or not.
There's a freedom in that, man. There's a freedom in that.
There's absolute freedom in it. You know, I got reported about the trucks the other day with Volvo. And at first people were like, I can't believe you're attacking Trump. I'm like, listen, this is the truth. He's pissed off. The trucks put out there were not the ones. He didn't want them there. And now Meadows is looking into it. And, you know, I don't care if it benefits or hurts the president. That's not my job. My job is not to run the ball for anybody. My job is to tell the truth. And when I get time to do it, I do it. And right now we all have the time.
Yeah, we do. So tell folks what you're doing since you've vacated the media menagerie. What are you doing yourself?
Coaching sports for kids and that kind of thing, but also what's right now is obviously on hiatus. And then I grew up in a small business, so I've obviously got that as a background. My parents, then my brother runs two little grocery stores in Napa, but as part of that, my brother and dad and I years ago started up a little winery. And it's done well. The wines are good, but, you know, it's never really been a full-time thing for anybody. And now that I left the news, I came home and said, you know what, let's do it. And it's been a blast. So I'm making wine and enjoying it. It gives me the opportunity to hire people and help create jobs that meet tons of people, as much as I did in the news. And at the same time, it gives me the freedom to still, what's great about, you know, doing this now rather than 20 years ago is I can still have my hand in. Thankfully, because of social media, where like if I want to report things, I can. And I, you know, and at the same time, I'm not stuck doing just one thing for a living.
Well, it sounds like you got your head on straight, and you don't have to deal with a lot of frustrations a lot of other reporters have historically complained about. Why did it take Fox 3 weeks, 2 weeks to follow up on your intel? Why couldn't they cite you? I was sitting out here saying, what is the matter with these people?
Well, they can't cite him. They're not going to cite a former correspondent because it makes them look. Even though I left on good terms. You know, I was frustrated like everybody else in the media is at the field level, out in the field. I can tell you very clearly that if anybody in the field who's been in the field for any length of time, I noticed a lot of new young reporters being hired, which is awesome. But they can't really speak to what I'm talking about. It has to be the guys and gals who've been out there in the field for a number of years. They'll tell you that, you know, the frustration across the networks is massive. Because, you know, a lot of us out there are trying to get away from Washington, D.C., and New York, really, for that matter. The correspondents, the men and women who are out in the field and the crews who are out in the field away from those two locations, especially D.C., you know, we're all over the board. We all bust our butt trying to tell stories and telling you accurate stories. And we're continually being shut down by either people in New York or D.C. who want a certain political edge to it or a talking head who's cheap or... You know, cheap to throw on the air in front of a green screen. And a lot of them don't have the background to even talk about it, but they're saying the right things. And whoever's in charge is mine. And so, you know, that part's the frustration, I think, for a lot of folks. And for Fox, you know, even though I left on good terms, clearly I left because I was frustrated. You know, we weren't doing news anymore, and I want to see history from the front row. And so for them to cite someone who left would be very, it wouldn't be good for them. It wouldn't be a good look. So I wasn't surprised they didn't cite me, but I kind of find it funny how much they touted their big breaking news story that was 6 days later than ours, 6 or 7 days later than what I'd been out there. I've been out there in front of for a long time, and a lot of them follow me, so I know they saw what I was tweeting about.
Yeah, I like how they spun it, and even their information since then has been off on this. It's been way off, and I'm saying, all right, somebody's telling them, because if they look, if you got the good sources in the feds, right, everybody's going to hear the same stuff. I was hearing the same stuff, and you and I had another conversation offline where we talked about this stuff, like, whoa, like, almost like we were both couldn't believe what we were hearing, and everything, right. Everything was matching up. And then when you read it through the prism of Fox, it doesn't sound like a lot of the stuff we were hearing. So I'm thinking, where are they getting this from, or how's it been changed? Is that accurate?
Yeah, I just heard this Fox CNN's report. I read theirs too, and it was same thing, different in a different way. You know, listen, they have to answer. And I think one of the frustrations that I've seen is, remember, even with Benghazi, for example, you know, it's been politicized and turned into, if you believe in Benghazi, what happened in Benghazi was a bad thing, you're a kook. When if you look at the facts of the case, you know, which are very easily defined, the fact is we could have responded. We didn't respond. Why didn't we? And it wasn't just somebody making a bad decision. There was more to it. And why haven't we gone after anybody responsible? Well, because a lot of these reporters are afraid to upset, and a lot of the networks are afraid to upset anybody in position of power in Washington, whether that's an agency, whether that's a military, whether that's, you know, a candidate or a political person. Granted, the president's different. We know, because Fox was, you know, and Fox can take a different take and CNN takes a different take. So I think you'll find that too. I mean, you got these people that are they maybe get some information, but then they get filtered through the people they have to make sure they don't piss off too much, which I don't care. I have nobody. I'm not running from nobody. I didn't do anything. No one's got nothing on me. I'm just telling what the truth is. And candidly, it doesn't really benefit a party or the other side. So I don't have to worry about that, because I'm not trying to make sure that my bosses are happy, or make sure that Fox is happy, or make sure that the Republicans are happy or the Democrats are happy. I don't have to worry about any of that, because I don't have to answer to any of them. I just have to answer to myself. And if I say something wrong or make a mistake, then I have to bear the burden of it. And, you know, one of the mistakes I did, I'll tell you a mistake I made. I reported some stuff about, you know, the concern in Africa, hoping to get some NGOs interested. And, I didn't realize how many people in Africa followed me on Twitter. And honestly, it scared some people, when it was a mistake that I made. It's all true. I back everything that I said, because I heard it from people that are in the know. But, you know, I probably should have understood a little bit more. Hey, even though I'm a solo person out here in America, you got to be careful. If I'm going to be a person telling news stories, you got to be careful when you say it, how you say it too, because you don't want to yell fire in a theater. And I think it's even more of a burden in some respects, in the sense that you have to make sure that you get it 100% right, because you're the one that fault lies with. At the same time, it's a significant less of a burden, because I don't have to worry about going through any filters.
That's the challenge, right? You don't have anybody challenging, right, micromanaging every piece of your intelligence, and then in many cases, watering it down. So by the time it comes through the on air or on the website, it's not even recognizable. It's like, wow, you know, that's not.
Yep.
So it's good. Well, I where can people find you on Twitter?
Adam Housley. Nice and simple. AdamHousley.
Bro, we'll have you back on. It's a crazy time, and I appreciate you being out in front of the story. And people should keep an eye on your Twitter, because you're weeks ahead of your old. it's so ironic. Now I bitch about Fox a lot, but the fact that they didn't at least call you and say, "Yo, can you point us in the right direction?" That kind of thing is mind boggling, because you were out in front of it. And you had a much bigger platform than like True Pundit has. We have our own folks and that follow us and stuff like that. And it's a damn shame that it's like, welcome to my world, Housley. It's, you're so far out in front of stuff, but nobody listens to you. You're like, after a while, you feel like a moron.
Well, no, it's also, I know you got to go, but it's also, you got, this thing where I remember I'd be out in the field and we'd break something. When I used to be at Fox, for example, when the FBI was talking about the Apple iPhones and not being able to access it during the terror investigation in San Bernardino, we broke that. I remember, you know, I broke a bunch of stuff on that story, and within a day, someone else would come out with a brand new breaking news. We got, you know, exclusive, and it's like, and then maybe one minor, significantly small detail that had nothing to do. Maybe it's the color of the iPhone or something, and all of a sudden that becomes the breaking news. They were on the front end of it. It's the whole "we got it first" argument, which I never really cared about. I just want to make sure we got it right. And it's fun. The dig is the fun. You're the same way. I follow in your footsteps. You know, it's the same way in that respect. I love the dig. I love to find the truth. And it's not about, oh, God, I beat CNN. I never think about that. But I do find it funny when they come back and try to, you know, it's like, dude, I've had that car for a month, and now all of a sudden you're claiming you got the car first? What are you talking about?
Yeah, you can't do anything about it. It's just the way the business is. It's probably one of the driving forces where you said, I'm done with this racket, you know, because
It is. And it's embarrassing for them, really, because a lot of people saw what happened and were ragging them for it.
Well, what are you supposed to do? Like, you know, I don't necessarily have to run. We can keep shooting the shit. I'm saying, how do you fix it? It's probably not fixable.
It's not, but I think what's happening is the folks that would notice are not – the folks that do notice are already turning the channel, no matter what network you find. I know everybody's already through the roof, blah, blah, blah. But look at those numbers. Look at the overall audience age and the growth of the folks that you want to grow with. And the folks that are, you know, at the executive levels at the networks, you know, and I'm not bashing on the news networks, I'm not bashing them or anything, but the fact is they're all going to be retiring and they're going to have their pensions by the time this stuff starts to hit the next level. And the next level is going to be, all of a sudden ratings are going to plummet. When those audiences start to retire, die off because of age, we all are at some point, right?
Yeah.
And it's, you know, the news audiences are getting older and older and older, and they're not replenishing with a younger viewership, and their answer to it is just to throw on a younger face. Well, that doesn't make any sense. That if you think about it, when Fox was at its heyday, which I don't think is now, when Fox was at its heyday, we were covering everything and we weren't afraid, and you know, before it became, you know, crazy political, no matter where you stand in politics, we used to have 7 or 8 hours of news. Now we have like 3. When we were doing that, you know, the idea was it was to get as much information that was different and change, and don't take the exact same face of it all. As part of that, our number one, our young anchor that got the most views from the youngest demographic was Bill O'Reilly, an older man. You know, it wasn't a younger person getting those views. So we don't give the younger population enough credit. They're not going to necessarily follow a young face. That does help sometimes. They're going to follow what they're hearing and what they want to hear in the presentation. And you know, we've gotten away from that. We don't cover international news at all. I mean, we used to cover it a lot more, and that's pretty much gone down the drain. There's very little international news being covered anymore. And what they don't understand is that our world is smaller than ever, and the younger population, I include myself in that, in my 40s still. Listen, we have friends all over the world. We were the first ones that really were the most connected.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't find international news anywhere on American television.
Doesn't
very,
sell.
Very, very rarely covered. No, it could sell, though, because it did. It did. It was just became cheaper and easier not to even sell. An example I've always used is when I went to Venezuela. We had a boss who was like, yeah, you know what? Go to Venezuela. They're shutting down the major TV station down there, which is like should be like shutting down NBC or ABC in the U.S. Chavez was doing it. And I remember a couple of people were like, why are we going there? No one's going to care. No one's going to watch. I'll never forget this. And this is back before we had Fox had a financial person in the decision-making process. It was decisions were made on news. And so we went and we spent 3 weeks there, got massive ratings covering Venezuela. And the reason why it was not anything. We just told a story. We didn't try to be Mr. Official. We didn't go down there and go, behind me, as you can see. It was like, dude, I just got tear gas. Check us out, you know, and it worked. We don't give our audience enough credit. Audiences will watch international news if you don't bore them to death with it.
Well, they don't want to hear about Henry Kissinger. They want to see if the beat on the street is someone's getting gassed and there's turmoil. They want to see that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They don't want to see. Listen, Henry Kissinger is great to bring someone on for a 2-minute little segment afterwards or whatever. Tell you. But they want to see what's going on. And every time we went down there, I mean, I mean, think about all the international stories we covered. They've got huge ratings. I mean, Haiti, yeah, these are unfortunately bad situations, but Haiti and the tsunamis, and people kept watching it. They kept watching, and these were people that they didn't identify with. They didn't speak their language. Americans didn't, for the most part. And, you know, we got – and the one that argued with, I think, that one of the best stories in the last 30 years were the Chilean miners, when the world came together to help get 33 men out of the ground. You know, we were there for that too, and it got huge ratings. Now, of course, the story is going to matter no matter where it was. They were going to get ratings, but if you tell it in a way that's and you're there to show it. I mean, I knew we were in trouble when Nelson Mandela passed away, and Fox had me get a bunch of story ideas together to go down there before he passed away, and then when he got real gravely ill, they said, wait, we'll wait till he passes away, and you can do the stories then, because they wanted me to do three or four other stories outside of the Mandela story, just so it could help cover the cost. And so Mandela dies, and we send one correspondent, and we rented a crew from down there. We didn't send any other correspondents. We didn't send Jennifer Griffith. No, we sent one correspondent. We sent one of our guys from London, an on-air guy, but nobody else, no anchors, no photographers, no producers. We hired some down there that we had on standby, basically on hold, that were freelance. We didn't send me, the guy you had to spend weeks setting up stories, didn't send me. When the stations, the affiliates they're called, wanted to have a reporter, and they heard that I'd been canceled to go, they asked for me. Nope, too much money to send me. And they didn't even send Jennifer Griffin, who was there, who used to work there and reported there. She actually flew down on her own dime. And then once she did, Fox said, nope, because she flew on her own dime, you can't put her on the air. And it's like, oh my God, this is someone who was there when Mandela was, you know, she covered Mandela, for God's sakes. How do you not put her on the air? And it's just, that's the idiocy that's happening in international news coverage, in my opinion. And it bleeds over. It bleeds over to domestic coverage too.
Well, it does, because it. You're first of all, you're narrowing. You have people deciding what's newsworthy, right? And then if folks are only watching Fox, well, then your worldview is narrow. You're not reading this in newspapers. Newspapers are the same way. The news hole is down so far. They have a hard enough time covering domestic news, let alone. I mean, when I was in the newspaper business, bro, you used to get all these reports coming over the wire from UPI all over the world, man. And AP. They don't do that anymore. I don't even think there is a UPI. I think UPI is toast. There's Reuters, who does a lot of international stuff, but if you don't subscribe to them through your wire service, you're not going to get it.
Yeah, and Reuters doesn't give a lot of contact. There's a lot of issues. Well, I like Reuters a lot, but I mean, they don't give a lot of contact. A lot of times it's just like, here it is. Here's your video, and here's the basics.
Right.
But Reuters, no. Reuters is still there. UPI, I think, is still around, but not like it's in a much smaller – I remember it was funny. A couple years ago, I Googled them. I'm like, what are the UPI? And I remember finding that they were – at that point, they were around. It was like some little dinky, rinky-dink operation. But – When I first started in TV in 1998, we still had the wire feeds, the UPIs, the APs. I remember I used to get excited when one of my stories showed up on the wire.
Yeah, when I put your story on the wire, it's like you're a big shot.
Yeah, totally. And you don't see that. You know, you don't see the at least you don't. I don't. Most reporters don't look at that stuff anymore. I mean, you're looking at your own feed on Twitter or however you get your news, and you know that's something you can dictate to you, you know, how you want it, rather than back in the day when we were doing news like you're talking about. You know, it came across the computer whether you had it, wanted to see it or not. And I used to always click on it and see what was going on in the world. You know, they had the little hourly update, and they had a more in-depth one that would come out like later on, like a couple times, three or four times a day, they had an in-depth one, but it had an hourly one as well. I remember, and the hourly one would be this little like a paragraph, and then the in-depth one would be like a full-on eight-paragraph kind of write-up.
Yeah. I used to sit there and read the wires, and I wasn't working on any stories. It's just that you had access to this like incredible snapshot of the entire world, and not everybody had that. And I used to sit there like almost like a mindless robot, and they're like, "Dude, you're going to go to lunch?" I'm like, "I'm just going to read the wires," you know.
Yeah, I know. I used to love it. I used to love reading the wires. In fact, I'm going through my stuff now, like everybody else is. I'm going through my garage. The last part of my house needs to be organized. And as I go through, I'm finding all these like wire copy that I kept and like stories and newspapers that I covered. And it's kind of cool to like pull it up and read it. You know, taking me forever to go through a plastic bin. I have like 20 of them, it seems like. Every time I seem like I got a bin done, it feels like four more are added. But it's kind of fun to see some of these write-ups, you know, to see them and go, wow, that's right. I remember covering that. I remember reading that, you know?
Yeah, I kept, I got a lot of old wire photos. They used to come across the UPI and API. They come out of the machine. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
They come printing out of the machine. It's like Frank Sinatra played, in Madison Square Garden. He's sitting there with like Sammy Davis and Don Rickles. I'm like, put that on my, and I say to the photo editors, hey, you want this? Like, now we got plenty of copy in the library. You can have it. So I have all these like crazy wire photos. I show it to my kids, Adam, and they're like, what the hell is this? I say, well, it used to come out of a machine, and then it goes in the newspaper, and they're like, what are you talking about? Newspaper, wire machines. They think I'm like a mental patient, but, you know, it's just the way it is.
For you. When I was in college in the 90s and I did radio, they taught us how to splice 3/4 inch, like reel to reel. I remember thinking, what the hell are we learning this for? You know, because the stations were already past it at that point. They were using carts at that point, but we learned how to do reel splice, which I'm kind of glad we did because, you know, it was fun. It made you appreciate the older days of media. But yeah, we had to splice it by hand and you know, do edits and all kinds of stuff that way.
Yeah, now times have changed, man. Now you can just, a lot of people just cover the world from their desk. They just write about tweets and stuff. I'm like, man, get out on the street, man.
Now, what's the issue I had? That's why, you know, you'd be out covering something and you have somebody thrown in front of the TV that's saying the right thing, who's 28 years old, who's never been anywhere but to a sandals resort, you know, and it's like, how can this person be talking about the Middle East? And I remember I was debating one person this individual is going to come out with a book supposedly talking about the media and how it needs to be more kind to each other. I remember thinking, she sure as hell wasn't kind to me when we were on Outnumbered together and we were talking about Central America, and it was back when Obama was president, and I said, hey, listen, the president really needs to come out and go down there or show up there and say, listen, stop coming. We're not going to let you in, or you, this is you're going across Mexico. The dangerous thing is happening, blah, 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 blah. And she like blew me off. Like, no, this is nothing he can do about it. This is all, you know, there's so much strife and civil war down there. And I'm thinking, Guatemala is dangerous. Honduras is dangerous. But at that point, El Salvador was okay. I mean, okay, compared to what it used to be. You know, Nicaragua was going more towards tourism. Panama is going more towards tourism. Costa Rica is tourism. And so, and I remember she kept arguing with me. It was kind of rude about it. I finally said, well, how do you know this? She goes, well, my studies have shown. Your studies have shown. I've freaking been there. I've been to the border of Guatemala and Mexico. I've been in El Salvador with the drug runnings. I've been into, you know, Colombia and Venezuela and Nicaragua. I feel like saying studying's great, but it only gives you a base. You need to go see it. You need to go feel it. And nothing's better than that. I tell people all the time, nothing is better than the Middle East, because I studied in school. I was a foreign policy major. I had friends from the Middle East in college that were from, you know, from Beirut in Israel. And, you know, you hear the stories, you studied about it. I eventually got my master's in, obviously, in it. I remember before I went, I read a couple of books in L.A. One was called War Without End by Anton LaGuardia. He was a correspondent who was based there. I forgot, for the Times of London or somebody. And he wrote this amazing book. It's been updated. If you ever want to read about the Middle East and get a really good background from like the beginning of time, but the first 100 pages can be kind of slow in this book, but it gets great. It gives you a great background called War Without End by Anton LaGuardia. I remember I read that on the way to Israel, and I'm thinking, okay, and once you still, even with all that background of friends being there and reading about it and studying about it, nothing changed. I mean, my entire perspective changed on day one. I mean, literally, when I saw a Palestinian guy working for us and an Israeli guy working for us, and I couldn't tell the difference. They looked exactly the same. They dressed exactly the same. And, it's like, you know, I didn't expect that. I didn't expect it. And they're still friends of mine to this day on social media. But the point is, you know, nothing changes like the perspective, like being there in person. And you hit the nail on the head with some of these guys and gals who are giving opinions on the air. They've never been there. And they haven't been anywhere close to it. And that might change what you're saying, even if you are politically conservative or politically liberal.
Well, you're talking about what I call, like, you can insert whatever restaurant you want in here, whatever chain restaurant, but I call it Taco Bell journalism, where, you know, they've done studies and they've had a couple of chalupas, So they're, you know, now they're authorities on Central America and Mexico, Mexico, and all these places. It's like, where have you been? Have you been out of the country? Have you, you know, have you, have you gone to the Middle East? Have you gotten, you know, have you gotten your shots? Did you have to go get shots to go to different parts of the world? You know, immunizations. I mean, right. Where have you been? They're like, what are you talking about? Shots? What do you mean? You need shots? It's like, you just can't go. You can't just book a flight to Africa.
No, no. You're gonna laugh at my story. The first time Fox hires me in end of 2000. They were talking to me before 9/11. 9/11 happens. I get put on hold for a couple of months. I finally get hired, and obviously, you know, for obvious reasons, I didn't know if they were gonna still do it after 9/11 happened. And I understood why. So I started like in after sweeps. I didn't want to screw up my local station, so I started like the first part of December in LA. Well, I've been there like 2 weeks, and they say, hey, you want to go to Pakistan and Afghanistan? I said, sure. So to go to Pakistan and Afghanistan, I had to fly through New York. I'd never been to New York City. I'd flown over it. I'd been to upstate at that point, but I'd never been to New York City at that point in my life. So I go straight down to the 9/11 site. I went down there to ground, you know, to the pile of rubble that was still there. Not as high, obviously. It could have been a couple of months at that point, but there was still the plywood walkways to get out there. It had been written off by everybody. It was just amazing to feel that just sadness and sorrow. And then, but I had to, you know, I was only there for a couple of days. I got all my stuff to go. It's like January 3rd or so. And they're like, oh crap, you got to get shots. And I'm like, oh, I got my tetanus and my tetanus and this. No, 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 you need your shot. Like, okay. The only doctor open was Dr. Kruger. True story.
It's not, I hope it wasn't Freddy Krueger.
He was an amazing guy. I got there and he goes, hey, and he starts lining up all these needles. I'm thinking, how many shots am I getting? He goes, do me a favor. Keep track of these. I want to make sure I don't lose track. And I'm like, how many am I getting? You're getting 9. Oh, and here's a prescription. Go down to Duane Reade and you're going to pick up a couple of things. And believe it or not, one of them was one of the malaria drugs everyone's been talking about is working. I forgot which one of the two it was, but
was it antiferon? Antiferon or something?
Yeah, it was one of the malaria. No, something. I think it may have been one of the anti-malaria drugs that I had to take. And it was right. Like it may cause you to hallucinate, but don't worry about it.
Well, you can't get it over there. You can't get it over there in a pinch, so you got to have it on you.
Yeah, and it had 9 shots, both shoulders and one butt. I was sore for about 4 days all over my whole body because I had, you know, that's a lot to take in at one time for an adult or for anybody for that matter.
Yeah, so next time some Poindexter wants to debate you on television or on a radio about the Middle East and these other places in Africa and the Congo, it's like, hey, do you ever have your shots? And if they say, what are you talking about? It's like, go home, get out of here. Get out. Get out of here. Get the hell out of here. Oh, man. That's the way it goes, man. Well, you know what, though? This is the thing. The internet with journalism thing, it's been a good thing and it's been a bad thing because you have a lot of people who are very adept at bullshitting and fooling people, and those people seem to rise to the top, and then they just will take a story, like they'll take your story, they'll take my stories or whatever, your scoop, and they'll say, oh, I got an exclusive, but it's all bullshit. But And that's why you'll never see those folks like ever debate somebody who's been through, who has a lot of experience, because just like we were talking right now, you could destroy somebody in a debate and say, oh yeah, you think you know so much? Well, did you ever have your shots? And they'll be like, what are you talking about? And it's game over right there. Your whole facade it's over. You know what I mean? How's you there?
I got you loud and clear. Sorry. A guy today was doing that. He was like, said something to me and goes, yeah, well, your network, blah, blah, blah. He said my network twice. And I replied back and I said, hey, I go, you just blown the first rule in debate. Let's get the most important fact right. And the fact that I don't work at a network that I haven't for 18 months pretty much just disqualifies everything you've just said. And he replies back, that wasn't my first point. And I go, doesn't matter where you list it. That's point number one either way. If you don't know where the guy works, and you're bashing where he works, that right there tells me everything you say is I'm not going to listen to, and it's going to be completely invalidated. So it was kind of funny, but it's the same idea what you just said. I'm going to use that. Have you ever had your shots?
Yeah, they'd be like, what are you talking about?
Shot at?
Tequila?
Right?
You ever been patched up at a veterinary clinic at 3 a.m.?
No, but I was funny. You ever been told about how to basically stuff a wound so you don't die as fast?
Right.
You know, ever been tear gassed 6 times by Hugo Chavez and threatened to throw you out of the country? Yeah, those are some of the, you know, there's some few of them in there that are, that makes it kind of funny. You ever had a missile hit the mall next door to your hotel? I have. So
the one time the guy's asking right. me at, was it some airport we were at? You know, like the carry-on bag. He's like, why do you have a half pound of salt and a half pound of sugar? And I'm like, oh, you know, I just do some cooking. It's like, you never know when you're going to need those things if you get into a sticky situation and you start bleeding. So, you know, I say that to people all the time. I'm like, you know, how do you stop? How do you stop if you're bleeding out? How do you stop? Oh, you get like a towel? I'm like, no, how do you stop it? You know what I mean? So there's just crazy things like that in it. And, but it's good to shoot.
I don't hurt sugar, though.
Well, the sugar's good to keep you going, like you bring your blood back and stuff. It liquefies the wound, and it doesn't allow any bacterial infection from getting in. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, good point. I never thought about that.
Because your adrenaline is so, like, tapped out, and that you need to bring it back, so.
Yeah. I would tell you one really, really funny story on all this. I'll end it on a light note. Going in back into Kuwait back during before the war started, I went out to Bahrain and spent 8 days with the Navy, 5 of those days on the USS Milius, which shot the first missiles to do shock and awe. And but we went out with special forces and climbed up the side of rope ladders on the ships as they were being searched by special forces to make sure there was no weapons going into Iraq before the war. So I'm going back into Kuwait, and Kuwait's a dry country, you know, and the British guys I worked with were actually making wine in their bathroom by fermenting fruit juice. And right. So the liquor was bad there. Even though people had it in their home, that was about it. There wasn't a lot of alcohol to be found. And so I'm away back in, and I'm like, and the way out, this Kuwaiti guy gave me a lot of problems. He was a Kuwaitis. If you're a true blood Kuwaiti, you can't be fired. And there's some amazing folks there. And I still have a lot of friends in Kuwait. But this one guy was not a very nice guy. And he busted my chops on the way out, and he stamped the wrong visa. Even though I kept telling him that's my new visa, and so on the way back in, I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna bring some alcohol back in. So I put 2 bottles of plastic Baileys in my socks, and I got 2 big, massive jugs of water. And I went to the bathroom in Bahrain's airport. I emptied them and filled them with vodka. Full on jugs of water. So it was 2 jugs of vodka is what ended up being. I remember going back through checkpoint and going into Kuwait, and the same guy pulled me aside and was giving me some problems about the wrong visa being stamped, which he had stamped, by the way, wrongly, 8 days earlier. And I remember thinking the whole time, these 2 jugs of vodka are sitting right in front of him, and he had no idea. I brought him in. I was waiting for him to smell him. He never did. So that was my I was a hero for a few days in Kuwait for bringing back in the alcohol.
You'd still be locked up down there.
Probably. No, they like this.
I know it's good stuff, but it's good to shoot the shit with you. Let's keep in touch and keep doing what you're doing, and I'll put the website of your winery out and stuff on the podcast so people know where to find you if they want to. Also look for your wine in different stores. It's all over the place. I've seen it out here on the East Coast.
Yeah, we want to be in more, so we're looking for some distribution. We're in a few places. A few states doing well, and now the next goal is to get a few more new states, which is our next goal.
I said I wish you the best and keep doing what you're doing, man. Hang in there.
I appreciate it, bud.
All right, I'll see you, man.
You too.
Bye. Right. Okay, so Adam Housley's winery, you can find him online at HouseleyNapaValley.com. HouseleyNapaValley.com. And I'm poking around his website here right now, and I notice there's wine for sale. They got all different kind of wines, family wines. They have, plus Adam's married into Hollywood, but I don't want to, you know, put him on the spot. Let's see. They got chocolate. They got wine. They got all kind of stuff here. Gifts. This is a pretty fancy place. This is a place like my wife would go somewhere and I'd say, why did you buy this stuff? Well, because it's really, you know, it's really nice stuff. And I'd be like, all right. And I'd probably give her a hard time. And then after I had some of the wine, I'd be like, you know what? This is pretty good. We need to get more of this more of this stuff. Yeah, there's all kinds of stuff here. This is pretty nice. I hadn't been on the website before. Housley, Housley, Napa, NAPA, as in Napa, Valley.com. Housley, Napa, Valley.com. He was good enough to take some time with us. See, like, this is one of the things, like, Napa stemless wine glass. And wine pourer and aerator. I'm not a wine guy, but this stuff looks pretty good. Oh, boy. I keep my wife away from this. They have these fancy candles and thick organic cutting board and wine. You can order wine delivered to your door. Hey, Housley, if you're listening to this, why are you not advertising on with us? This is like a free ad. I'm going to bill you. This is getting crazy. I go on the website and I start babbling about it. Next thing you know, you're going to cash in. And I'm down here eating ramen fried noodles. Of course, I'm just joking around, right? That's that. But we talked about just a medical warning, because I'm not a doctor and I don't even play one on YouTube during the crisis like a lot of other people. But I'm not a doctor, so I just want to. We're talking about how to stop a gunshot wound or how to, you know, from bleeding. You want to make sure you're using processed white sugar, okay? Processed white sugar. And if you're in a pinch, honey works as well, okay? Don't use golden sugar. Don't use all different kind of wacky sugar. Don't use brown sugar. We're stopping a bullet wound from bleeding, okay? We're not out eating chunky apple cake with William Barr.